So this morning we're going to talk about the invisible creator in plain sight. And don't let this fancy slide fool you. This slide looks a lot more polished than what I have to share with you today. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The passage in Proverbs that Adam read extemporaneously, I might add, describes wisdom who was present at the creation. So I'm going to repeat part of that proverb, Proverb 8, beginning with verse 22. Yahweh possessed me. This is wisdom speaking, wisdom personified speaking. Yahweh possessed me at the beginning of his work, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. There were no oceans, or when there were no oceans, I was given birth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary, so the waters would not overstep its command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing in his presence. Now, before I finish reading this, I want to point out that Psalm 19, which I just read a moment ago, and wisdom here, I just want to point out that they are acknowledging the Creator as God and giving thanks to him. Okay, rejoicing in his presence. Rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from Yahweh. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. So, if you flip to the next slide, please. Today's thoughts, I was reading through Psalm 19, and it dawned on me a connection between Psalm 19 and Paul's words in Romans, some of Paul's words in Romans. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And Psalm 19 is a song of those who glorify the Creator as God and give thanks to him. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to the end, into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Wisdom, as described in Proverbs, delighted in the creation. And he said, all who love life follow my ways, those who do not love death. So I wanted to contrast then that with what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Because Romans chapter 1 says pretty much, at least as I see it, okay, now these are things that I'm putting together. So as I see it, Romans chapter 1 seems to say pretty much the same thing, only in negative terms. Okay, so Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and injustice of men who suppress the truth by their injustice. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, since God put the heavens in place, put the seas in place, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and deity, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that they are without excuse. There's accountability there. Understood from what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. Okay, so this is what my thoughts here are pivoting around. The Creator is evident in the creation. Do we look at the creation and glorify him as God and give thanks to him? Or do we give glory to another? Do we glorify him as God and give thanks to him? Or do we give that glory to another? So, I want to make a comment about the Word of God and the Word of God in writ large, understood broadly. So according to Psalm 19, the Word of God is evident in creation. The creation speaks a word. It speaks a word about the Creator. Psalm 19 also goes on to say that the Word of God is evident in the law, the perfect law. And I would also say that that encompasses the perfect Word of God in the law made perfect in Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said of the Old Testament writings, these writings speak of me. And so when he talks about the perfect law, that law which is more precious than gold, that also, I believe, is looking forward to that law made perfect in Jesus Christ. So with that, I want to take a look. Oh, I almost forgot. Okay, so a point about the Word of God. What could it be? What can be known about God from creation? His eternal power and deity? What can be known about God through his Word in other forms, through the law, and through the law made perfect in Jesus? That Word of God is something to be conformed to. It is not something that we can form into our own image. Now, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I can't imagine any one of us that don't struggle with that, okay? Of course, we want to conform the Word of God to our own image. But the Word of God is not something to conform to our own image. It is something to be conformed to. With that, I want to look more closely at Paul's words in Romans 1:21, or 1 again, Romans 1 beginning with verse 18. Because Paul describes what happens when men look at creation, are accountable to the knowledge of God, and neither glorify him as God nor give thanks to him. So that's what the point is here on the screen. Do we glorify the Creator as God and give thanks to him, or do we not? Do we give that glory to another? Romans 1, again, beginning with verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and injustice of men who suppress the truth by their injustice, since what may be known to God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, wisdom was there at the creation of the world, pay attention. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and deity have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So what happened as a result of that? What was the result of giving God's glory to another? Maybe giving God's glory to ourselves, giving God's glory to our tribe, giving God's glory to whatever. What happened whenever they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him? Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who was forever blessed. Amen? They gave God's glory to another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever blessed, whoever is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their females exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the males also abandoned natural relations with females and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men or males committed indecent acts with other males and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, okay, again, think giving the glory due to God to another, think conforming the Word of God to our own image instead of conforming to the Word of God. Again, verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Remember what wisdom said. Those who love life, listen to me. And those who do not, love death. Paul goes on here in verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So what is the turning point for this death spiral into sin that Paul describes here? Well, the turning point was that they neither glorified him as God, although they knew him as God, he was evident. They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, so I bring all this to contrast with the words in I want to be fair with this passage in Romans here before I move away from it. And this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but I want to be fair with it. Okay, so Paul doesn't just leave it at this. You know, like, you're condemned, there's nothing you can do about it. He says this by introducing it with what comes before it. So Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, this is right before what we read, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in it is revealed for faith a justice from God that is by faith, just as it is written, the righteous by faith shall live. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So this for presents the backdrop for the good news of the gospel. But it's important to point out that this judgment that Paul is describing from this spiral into death is part of the gospel message. Okay, Paul calls it as his gospel proclaims. It's part of the gospel message. But the thrust of Paul's gospel message is the redemption that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the justification that comes through faith in Jesus. So, but this death spiral that's triggered when men fail to glorify the Creator as God or give thanks to him, is contrasted. Psalm 19 gives the positive view of this. So Psalm 19 views the Word of God along two perspectives: what may be known about God from creation, and what may be known about God from meditating on his perfect Word. And I believe that Psalm 19, when it talks about the meditating on his perfect word, has in view the ultimate realization of his perfect word in the perfection of the law in Jesus. Okay, so I invite you to incorporate that into your understanding as we read through this. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. The heavens, day after day, pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. If we see, I'm trying to think of how to put this. If we see nothing else, see the faithfulness of God in this. Okay, the faithfulness of God on display here. I'm not suggesting that we don't see anything else. I'm just saying the faithfulness of God is on clear display here. Okay, so here he pivots from the testimony of the creation to its creator to the testimony of the law to its lawgiver. The law of Yahweh is perfect, reviving the soul. Now, how can you understand that without looking forward to its consummation in Jesus? The law of Yahweh is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of Yahweh are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of Yahweh are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of Yahweh are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, more precious than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Back to Proverbs. Wisdom says, those who love me, those who pursue me, receive great reward. Those who love life, pursue me. Psalm 19 ends with a prayer. And I believe that there, and this is my understanding of it, okay, because I interpret these things. They're word pictures. And sometimes I look into Scripture, and probably most of you have heard me say this before and will remember me saying it, but the poetry and prophecy of Scripture, all of Scripture, I mean, it's something that whenever I look into it, it's like looking into one of those magic eye pictures. You know, you look at something and there's words, you know. When you look into a magic eye picture, who's seen the magic eye pictures? Okay, a few of you will know what I'm talking about. The rest of you just sit tight. But the magic eye pictures are these pictures that just look like, what, noise? The picture is mostly noise. But whenever you look deeply into it and you focus your eyes, as Elaine's employer in Seinfeld said, you have to look deep focus, deep focus. Then your two eyes looking together bring out a 3D image. Clear 3D image in the picture, and that's kind of the way this feels to me. You know, when I'm looking at these psalms, the prophetic writings, and Jesus Himself says these words speak of me. But what I went all that to say, whenever I look at these last verses in Psalm 19, it's a prayer. And I see in this also a look forward to the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. So he's covering the unwitting sin. Forgive my hidden faults. And the willful sins. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words, and this is where I see the Holy Spirit in several places in this psalm, but here's where I see it the most pronounced. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Yahweh, my rock and my redeemer. How can that reach its ultimate fulfillment without the work of Jesus? How can that reach its ultimate fulfillment in us, on this earth, today, without the presence of the Holy Spirit? So, this psalm has described how the creation, the skies, the firmament, the creation itself proclaims God, and how the perfect law proclaims the wisdom of God. And he says, may the words of my mouth, okay, may I give glory to God and give thanks to him. May the words of my heart, or may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Yahweh, my rock and my redeemer. So I leave it with you. Whenever we behold the creation, when we behold the Word of God in whatever form, do we glorify him as God and give thanks to him, or do we give his glory to another? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice when we see your creation. We rejoice when we see that which screams the presence and the wisdom and the goodness of the designer. When we see your word in all its forms, in the law, and especially in the law made incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, the law made perfect, securing our justice, our justification before you. Lord, may your Spirit dwell in us. May your Spirit quicken us to see ever more in ever more nuance your hand in creation and what the creation says about you. May we conform our wills, our aspirations, and our attitudes to your word. And Lord, may the Spirit work in us to resist the temptation to conform your words to us. As always, please help us to put our trust in you and to do what is right. May we give glory to you as the Creator and give thanks to you. And we do give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.